So here we are in this middle of this series called Chasing Forever, and trying to figure out what does it mean to really chase next, that promise, that eternity. And in times like this, it gets difficult because we have a hard time seeing next. We have a hard time, pushing through the difficulties that kind of overwhelm us in the present. Last week, I shared this big idea or thought with you. Every mountain that we climb is an opportunity to stretch and to grow our faith. See, we don't see this situation that we're in. We don't see it as an obstacle. We see it as an opportunity. You've already heard about the amazing things that we're doing throughout our community, connecting to other churches, expanding our online presence, impacting people from across the world. Last week, there were people watching us from Germany and other countries. And so we're seeing this as an opportunity. And it's stretching us, yes. But it's growing us. It's taking us to another level. And we shared this thought with you, this quote. I don't know who wrote this, but I love what it says. The best view comes after the hardest climbs. We're in a very, very hard climb right now. It's difficult. We don't know what's next. We're trying to figure it out. We seem like we take a step forward and then we take steps back. We seem like we kind of get a handle on what's going on and then all of a sudden it changes. It's a very fluid situation. We're working and planning, but we're also projecting and trying to figure out what's next. But that's hard. But we're climbing. We're moving. God has got us and still directing us. We still have purpose. Sometimes, though, these kinds of things just kind of overwhelm our thoughts. And to be perfectly honest, they don't make sense. They don't make sense. I was reminded this week of a quote by Oswald Chambers that says, suppose God tells you to do something that is an enormous, and I like that word, enormous, overwhelming, bigger than you ever thought about, test of your common sense. What you can wrap your head around. What if it goes totally against it? What will you do? How do you respond? We face that. Just months ago, nobody even considered this. And weeks ago, we had no idea the size of this. The complexity of what's going on. The constant movement and changes. And it can overwhelm us. It doesn't make sense, does it? It's an enormous test. So what are we going to do? There's a great story in the Old Testament. It's from a prophet named Habakkuk. And he went through one of those tests. He had a period where he was being tested. And he responded to that in kind of in an interesting way, a way that I think you and I ought to respond. Here's what's happening. He's describing his situation in chapter 3. He says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine. So you got to understand, the fig tree was a very important agricultural thing for them. It was a stream of resources. He says, though the olive crops fail, again, a major source of income and a resource for them, and the fields produced no food. Imagine that picture. Everything around you barren, producing nothing. And though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Now picture that. I mean, we still have cows making milk and we still have things that are happening. Trees are still growing. Yes, we're restricted, but many of us are panicking about things we don't need to panic about. But in Habakkuk's situation, though, there's no food. The crops aren't growing. The cattle is gone. There's nothing there. Imagine how that doesn't make sense to him. But I want you to notice how he responds in verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. In spite of the fact that there's no food, in spite of the fact that everything around me looks hopeless, in spite of the fact that I can't make sense of it, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And then he says this, the sovereign Lord is my strength. See, God wants to be your strength during these days. He wants to be your comfort. He wants you to find rest and peace in him. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Remember those mountains that we're climbing? We can lose our footing, and they can be difficult. It's hard to climb, but with God's strength, he makes our feet able to climb. And so in moments like this, how are we going to respond when it doesn't make sense? See, the truth is, the vast majority of us as believers, we respond to God in this way. We say, yes, but. Yes, God, but. Yes, God, as long as. Yes, God, when it makes sense, I'll rejoice. I'll respond. But you need to understand that in spite of our what we can wrap our heads around, what we can understand, what we can even predict, we're to find joy and we're to rejoice and we're to trust God because he's going to help us make the climb. So I want you to think about it this way. Jesus is calling us, you, me, to risk everything that we hold on to through common sense. Again, what we can wrap our heads around. And to take a giant leap by faith. But that, how are we going to climb that mountain? By faith. How are we going to bridge these gaps that we can't understand? Wrap our heads or release ourselves to stuff we can't manage or process. By faith, we're going to take a leap into what we say we believe. See, we say we believe. Yes, God, but. Yes, God, as long as. No, God wants us to leap into faith. I want you to look at Habakkuk's response again. Yet, in spite of, regardless of, no matter what, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Remember, joy is in spite of our circumstances. None of us are happy about what's going on. We have a lot of work that's going to be done. And there are going to be a lot of impacts and lives hurt. It's going to be difficult. And none of us will ever be happy about this situation. But we can find joy in spite of it. So let's go back to that question. When praise doesn't make sense to you, what do you do? See, because that's what Habakkuk is doing. In spite of the fact there are no cattle, there are no sheep, there's no food, there's nothing being produced, the fig trees are withering, the olive crops are failing. In spite of all of that, the economic impact, the physical impact, in spite of all of that, he's praising God. So when praise doesn't make sense to you, I'm sorry, Tim, I just can't praise God right now. See, that's the big question that we all have to face. And the truth is there are two types of praise. There's pretty praise. You know what pretty praise is, right? That's when everything's going great. The birds are chirping. Everything's great. Resources are flowing. Everybody's healthy. I got more food than I can possibly eat. I got all the toilet paper I could ever want to use. Life is great. So everything is pretty, so I praise God. But there's another kind of praise, and we call that ugly praise. It's ugly right now, isn't it? I mean, we don't know what to do. We don't know where we go. We can't go to our favorite restaurants. We can't find the products we want in our grocery stores. People are losing their jobs. Lives are being impacted. We can't travel. There's no sports. Oh, my goodness, Tim, it's ugly right now. How do I praise God when it's ugly? How do we do that? By faith. See, because I want to ask you this, or focus on this thought. If we can't prove our faith in the ugly times, what good is it? Why do we even have it? See, what we're doing right now is we're being stretched in ways that we've never been stretched. But that stretching doesn't have to hurt us. It can grow us. The prophet Isaiah knew about that. In Isaiah chapter 43, he says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. So Isaiah is reminding the people that God is still in control. And I know you've heard that maybe to the point of almost not hearing it anymore. God's in control. God's in control. God's in control. But we need to be reminded that he is. And Isaiah is reminding the people, God's in control. I need you to know that God is still here. But he goes on. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, God says. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Now talk about trouble. Imagine just being completely consumed. He's saying, you need to trust that God's not going to allow that to happen to you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? Because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Where's our hope? Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in Christ. The psalmist knew that. But again, remember, look at the praise that's happening in spite of going through waters, walking through fire, going through the unexpected. Trusting God anyway. Ugly praise. The psalmist knew about that. In Psalm 34, it says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. Listen, God is listening. He's an ever-present help in time of need. He delivers them from all of their troubles. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Many of you, your hearts are broken right now. You have so much uncertainty, but he saves those who are crushed in spirit. There's so much out in front of us that we don't know, but we have to, in spite of the ugliness of the world around us right now, we have to praise. The psalmist goes on and says, the righteous persons may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from all. God's going to deliver us from all of this. How's it going to look? I don't know, but I'm trusting God. How's it going to work out? I don't know, but I'm trusting God. And not only am I trusting him, I'm giving him praise, even though it's ugly praise. See, it's easy when it's pretty. It's easy when everything lines up with what we think it ought to be. But when it gets ugly, what do? See, you and I need to understand that our ugly praise releases the power of God into our world. I want you to grab this thought. If you don't grab any other thought that I share with you today, grab this thought. We might be just one ugly praise away from a miracle. What are God's people going to do? Are we going to praise God in spite of the fact that we don't understand and it doesn't make sense? We could be one ugly praise from God releasing the powers of heaven onto us. So what are we going to do? I want to give you two examples of ugly praise in Scripture. Two really incredible characters. There's this guy in the Old Testament. God called him to go and to preach to a group of people that desperately needed to hear God's message. But you know what he did? He said, yeah, God, but I'd rather do something else. Hey, God, I want to preach for you. I want to do the right thing. I want to do everything, but I really got these other things. I got my own agenda, God. And I like doing it this way. And so he refused. His name was Jonah. Now, if you've ever been in church or grew up, we learned the story of Jonah and the whale, the big fish that swallowed this guy. Because you see, what happened was he refused to trust God and to do what God asked him to do, even though it might mean climbing, even though it didn't make sense to him, even though it was against his plan or his idea for his life. He chose to do his own thing. And he gets on a boat and a storm comes up and they're trying to figure out how they're going to manage, how they're going to survive. And Jonah realizes that maybe I'm the cause of this. He says, you know, I went against what God wanted, and so this trouble is on me. And so y'all need to toss me in. And they refused at first, trying to figure out how to row their way to shore, but then they realized, what? We're not going to be able to do this. We're all going to die. Let's eject this guy. So they throw Jonah into the water. And but God provided a whale, a fish, and it swallows up Jonah, and he lives inside of that fish for 3 days. I don't know what the next 3 days mean for us. I don't know what the next 3 weeks or the next 3 months. I don't know. It's ugly. Can you imagine sitting in the belly of a fish for 3 days? I gotta imagine that's pretty ugly. But do you know what Jonah did while he was in that fish? Well, let's look. In Jonah chapter 2, it says, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to God." Jonah's saying this while he's in the fish. Now imagine how ugly that is. He says, "What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." Notice what he does. In the middle of a fish, ugly, messed up, he praises God. It was ugly praise. And he praises God. And you know what God did? You know how God responded to that ugly praise? It says, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Talk about ugly. But because of Jonah's willingness to praise in spite of his circumstance, God was able to do a miracle. God was able to release Jonah. Jonah came out. But I want you to know this. Jonah didn't come out pretty. But he came out. We may not come out of this pretty, but we're going to come out. There's another great story. In the New Testament, Paul and Silas were out teaching. We know Paul. He wrote much of our New Testament. And Silas was his partner. And they were out doing mission work and starting churches and connecting with people and seeing lives transformed. And so they're moving around. And there's this one part of the scriptures where it tells us that this woman who's a fortune teller was following them, and she was shouting out things, predictions, and Paul and Silas were moving, and she's constantly there day after day, and finally Paul just had enough. He just turns because he says what is causing her to shout out these things was an evil spirit that lived within him. And so Paul calls out that spirit and he says, "Leave her." And the spirit does in the power of Jesus. It leaves her. Now you got to understand, there were people who were using this woman for gain. They were using her. They were prostituting her. And so now this spirit, this evil spirit, has been removed from her, and they're going to lose their income. They're going to lose this resource that they have, and they're angry, and they go to the authorities, and the authorities respond by taking Paul and Silas and beating them hard, bruising their bodies, breaking their bodies, and then they take them to a jail cell, and they tell the jailer, "I want you to watch them carefully." So the jailer takes them to the innermost part of the jail, the most restricted area, and not only does he place them there, he puts them in shackles, and that's where they are, bruised, broken, shackled, hidden away in the dark. But do you know what Paul and Silas do? In Acts chapter 16, said the crowd joining the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. It was ugly. They were hurting. But they were praying, and notice, and singing hymns to God, giving praise. It was ugly praise. It wasn't pretty. They weren't in a very nice building. They weren't able to watch online, but they were giving praise, ugly praise. And notice what was happening. The other prisoners were listening to them. Listen to me, folks. Everybody, listen to me. The world is watching us right now. What are we going to do when it gets ugly? The world is watching to see how we respond. Let's respond with praise. Let's unleash the power of God. Let's pray. Let's share. Let's rejoice in spite of the fact that it's ugly, because people are listening. But look what happens next. Suddenly. the power of heaven was released because of that ugly place. And there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Remember, they're in the very center of the very center of the very center. But the very foundation of that whole prison was shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. See, ugly praise releases miracles. Do we need a miracle right now? Yes. Maybe you personally need a miracle. Maybe you personally don't, it doesn't make sense and you can't extrapolate it out and you can't even figure out tomorrow, much less today, and you don't know what the next few weeks will hold, and it looks impossible. There's no way. Yes, God, I know you're God, but what are we going to do? I'm calling you, me, us, to ugly praise. God is still God. And God can do the miracle that you and I need. But we have to release it through our power of prayer that is available to us. Our praise as we focus people's attention. I think God is trying to get our attention. I think this is a great opportunity. I think people are listening. And I think you and I need a miracle. So what are you going to do when it doesn't make sense? When it isn't pretty? When it's ugly? Are you going to keep worrying? Or are you going to praise God anyway? Because you see, you need to know, it's time to quit worrying about trying to pretty it up and just give it up. Let's give it up to God. Let's trust Him. Let's help people. Everybody we see, get closer to Him by them seeing us praise Him in spite of how ugly it might be. I love you. And I believe God is going to take us through this and beyond this, and we're going to look back one day and we're going to say, man, God was amazing during that time. But you and I need to find time each and every day to spend time with Him. What a gift you've been given with the time that you have. Seize that time to get closer to family, but seize it to get closer to God. And in the middle of that time you have with Him, would you give Him praise? I know it's ugly. I know it doesn't make sense, but praise Him anyway and watch what He does. Let's pray together. God, we're so grateful for who You are. It is in moments like this where we have to stop and just give You praise. We woke up this morning, God. The world's still turning. The sun came up. Birds are going to chirp. Rain's going to fall in certain places around our world. Life is going to go on. And You're still God. Yes, it's ugly right now. We don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. We don't know how to see beyond where we are. But we're going to trust You. And we're going to praise You, even though it's ugly. So God, we're asking, would You do a miracle? Would You inhabit our prayers and our praise? And would You be so moved as to do a miracle in our world? We know You can, but we'll trust You in how You do it. We'll trust Your processes. We'll trust Your plan. We'll trust Your provision. We'll trust Your next. Because You're God and we're not. So we offer You our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.